Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
Inflation numbers are out, and we'll be getting to those in the second part of KKHI as we go over all the news. We start in sports on this Wednesday because I cannot get out of my head what has happened over this offseason, a span of a few short months, with broadcasters in the National Football League. The transfer portal, if you will, the broadcasters that are moving from one network to another and the salaries they're getting, and it's all been topped in a crazy offseason for NFL broadcasters by a man who's still playing football, and that is Tom Brady, who doesn't care that the inflation is up and cost of living is up because he has signed a... He's going to keep playing football, folks. He's going to keep playing football. When he's done, his contract immediately kicks in, 10 years, $375 million to be the lead analyst on Fox with Kevin Burkhardt. Now, Fox famously lost Joe Buck this offseason and Troy Aikman to ESPN's Monday Night Football, where they're each apparently getting $33 million a year. Brady passes that at $37.5 million per year, and he'll work with Kevin Burkhardt, who probably makes about $1.50. I mean, I don't know what Kevin Burkhardt makes, but Kevin Burkhardt's won the lottery here, as he's probably going to call this year with Greg Olson. And whenever Tom Brady retires, Brady will go in the booth. Here's the question about all this. Is this all just disposable money these companies have at this point? Because what if Brady sucks? Joe Montana tried this after he retired from the Chiefs and was awful. I don't know how many people remember it, but Joe Montana was a little bit like Tom Brady, a very understated man, understated player, not really, you know, having a gift for gab. There's nothing about Tom Brady that leads me to believe that he's going to be great at this. He's got one bullet in the chamber, and that is if he just comes out and says whatever's on his mind. If he's truthful, and he's critical of quarterbacks that are playing poorly, critical of bad teams, points out what they're doing wrong, is not afraid to say this coach did the wrong thing right there. If he does that, if he analyzes football like we all analyze football watching on Sundays, he could be just fine because there is a shortage of that. Chris Collinsworth's really the only guy that does a lot of that, truly. And even he kind of parses his words and is very careful with it all. If Tom Brady just comes out and says, you know what, I'm bigger than this. I'm the greatest of all time. I don't care what coach likes me or what player likes me. I'm Tom freaking Brady, and I'm going to say whatever's on my mind. He could be great at this. But to this point, nobody except Howard Cosell has ever done that in a booth. And generally speaking, networks that are in partnership with the league, and any network that has a contract is in partnership with the league, generally speaking, they go soft on that sport. Just by definition, we're partners, we're going to go easy on you, whatever. Tom Brady could walk away right now and make more money broadcasting than he did playing quarterback as the greatest quarterback of all time. So clearly broadcasting salaries are out of control. I can say this, this is great for the broadcasters. They're really good at what they do. They're incredibly important to the television ratings. You may not think they are, and they're getting more important because of gambling. So people will stay on board longer in games to watch the final outcome over a point spread. You know, a 14-point game with a 7-point line, you're not turning off with a minute 20 to go. A 14-point game, and you got some yard work to do, and you got no action on the game, you may be going and doing your yard work. So we know how this all works. We know how important the broadcasters are. And we know that when, for example, Al Michaels is calling a game, it just sounds bigger. A Jim Nantz game sounds more important than other broadcasters' games. We know this. You know it. I know it. We all watch. I get it. How Brady fits in, I don't know. And how many of you that could pick Kevin Burkhardt out of a lineup, I'm not sure. Burkhardt's a fine announcer. I assume that since he's going to the top team, that the broadcast will be ramped up, and in a few years, we may look at Kevin Burkhardt like we do Jim Nantz or somebody. That's all possible. Joe Buck, you know, love him or hate him, Joe Buck, when you hear his voice, you know it's a pretty big game, and that's what ESPN's paying for. They want Monday Night Football to sound like a big game. And with those announcers, it will, because it's been a clown show for many years at ESPN. And they finally just had to suck it up and say, look, we're going to pay the top talent. And they did. But what if Tom Brady's no good? I think that's absolutely possible. And what could Peyton Manning get if he jumped into this fray? Now, this could be musical chairs. There's not a lead analyst spot anywhere. And the backup plan for Fox is quite simple. If Brady's terrible in the booth, he's going to go on the set, and I think probably it's time to turn that thing over. Terry Bradshaw maybe would be out. You know, it's probably past his time to go. I don't know what Bradshaw adds to the set. They might want to get younger there. Tom Brady would certainly be a draw to a pregame show, but they're hoping he's the lead guy in the booth. I still think there's a chance that he's no good at it. And let me tell you something. Football fans can completely respect and appreciate Tom Brady, the player, but if he's no good in the booth, they will be relentless. Fox will have to make a move. They will not keep Tom Brady doing a bad broadcast for 10 years. They'll put him on the set, they'll do something with him, and they'll eat the money. This is a hell of a risk. I mean, this is a hell of a risk by Fox. They have no idea if Tom Brady can do this or not. They just went and signed up the greatest quarterback of all time and said, let's get him in the fold, let's do this, and let's see where it leads. But it really is a huge question. What could Peyton Manning get? Because I think Peyton Manning would be the best. I think he'd be great, especially if he took the gloves off and said something. And he started to in the Manning cast last year. Go, oh, no, what was that guy thinking right there? What were they doing? You spiked the ball. That's what people are looking for. People want somebody in the booth that knows more about football than they do and is not afraid to say the things that they're thinking as they watch coaches make stupid decisions, players lose their minds and do dumb things. This is what people crave. It's what they love about watching sports. I can't even imagine how good Peyton Manning would be. I think he'd be absolutely tremendous. He's got his own production company, Omaha Productions. They're doing the Manning cast. He's obviously making still millions of dollars in endorsements and things like that. And probably doesn't want to work hard enough to have to go do this every week. I know that sounds ridiculous. It doesn't seem like very hard work to go call, 18 to 20 football games a year? Doesn't sound very hard for $37 million. But at this point, Peyton Manning clearly has stayed out of this and said he doesn't really want to do it, or he would have been gobbled up and hired by now. There is no question about that. Also in the NFL, and good luck to Tom Brady. You know why he's still playing football? I don't know. He's got nothing left to prove, but he wants to play another year, and we suspect next year he'll be in the booth for Fox, we would think. Greg Olsen's going to get a one-year go, probably here with Kevin Burkhardt, and then it will be Tom Brady. One other NFL note, Josh Lambeau from the Jacksonville Jaguars, the former kicker, has filed a $3 million lawsuit against the Jaguars, who released him in the middle of last year. He claims he was kicked by Urban Meyer and berated and belittled by the coach, and it affected his performance, and he was released by the team, and he's out of football, and he's claiming $3 million in damages. I've heard crazier things. There's either witnesses or not that he was kicked, and I don't know how you claim in a lawsuit that you were kicked if you can't prove it. Urban Meyer denies it. The Jaguars deny it. Look, we're in a touchy-feely little society now. Could there have been a situation in practice where Josh Lambeau's over there kicking and he's pulling them all left, or they're wobblers and they don't look good, and Urban Meyer runs up and says, just kick the damn ball, and goes to kick it and accidentally kicks Lambeau's foot or something, or tries to show him how to kick and kicks his foot? Any of those things are possible. All kinds of things are possible at practice in the NFL. I think this is ridiculous. I think it's embarrassing for the player. I think he should take the money that he made through the years, go retire, and whatever. But you know what? People love to sue. And if they think they've got the right to sue, they just go do it. And we'll see what happens with Josh Lambeau suing for $3 million against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Speaking of millions, millions of people watched the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. I got a lot of feedback from you that you enjoyed me talking about the Derby, that you watched it, that you loved it, that you've not been a giant horse racing fan, but you've now seen the clips, the aerial shot of Rich Strike coming from way back on the final turn, weaving the way through and winning the Kentucky Derby. I've heard from you. You loved it as much as I did. Well, America loved it. 16 million people watched. That is remarkable for a Saturday afternoon. Now, they have moved it back later and later to try to get it closer to prime time, which has helped NBC and the Kentucky Derby, but that's a big number. $16 million for a horse race is a massive number. That's a big number of people. It is 8 years in a row that 15 million or more have watched the Kentucky Derby. I think the appeal for a lot of people is this is short. I know when it starts. I'll tune in 15 minutes beforehand. I'll watch them load the gates. I'll hear them introduce the horses, load the gates. It's about a 30-minute watch for me. And that's what it was Saturday. I watched for about 30 minutes. I watched them load the gates. I watched the race. I watched a little post-race, and that was it. I didn't watch the 3 hours of pre-race. I didn't. And that's not where they got $16 million. But it shows what our attention spans are. It's really a reflection of our society. Now, how many people have seen the race, or at least the final part of the race, the video of it on Twitter? I mean, we're talking about an astounding number. This was a remarkable finish. And, you know, Twitter and social media become free advertising for sporting events. That's good and bad. It creates awareness for your sport. It could create interest for your sport. But it doesn't get people to sit down and watch 2 hours the Kentucky Derby. People don't do that anymore. NBC has a massive pregame show. I don't know who it's all designed for. There are horse people. I'm sure they got a million or 2 million people that watched for hours before the race. That's not my style. I like the action. But I think this big number, 16 million, is a reflection of we've got short attention spans. I'll watch this. I'll see the outcome. I'll digest it. And that's that. And I consumed it that way. I'm assuming a lot of you consumed the Kentucky Derby that way, but it was a spectacular race. And I'm happy that 16 million people watched. I think that's great. I like horse racing. I don't love it. I like it. I think the horses are absolutely beautiful and spectacular athletes. I am not Eric Berry. I'm not afraid of horses. You may remember the Chiefs' great safety famously said he will not be anywhere on the field near war paint because he's afraid of horses, that it was scary to him and creepy that the Chiefs had a horse. That's not me. I'm afraid of wasps. That's my issue. Not horses. Not really snakes, although I don't like snakes. And I've mowed a few times now. I'm pretty sure at our new house we're going to have snakes. We back up to the woods, so I'm just pretty sure, in a creek behind that, so I'm pretty sure we're going to have snakes. We've heard neighbors say it. I recognize that most snakes, first of all, they don't want to bite you or hurt you, and secondly, the overwhelming majority of them are not poisonous, so that's good. But my problem is I probably should get up on this and learn what a dangerous snake looks like compared to what a non-dangerous snake looks like. That's probably what I really need to do. Mostly, I just listen to tunes and mow, and if I cross one, I stop and go, uh-oh, now what? Turn the mower off, head inside, and watch out the window. That's pretty much my MO with snakes. Okay, the Royals absolutely stink. Wow, they're bad. What's my takeaway from their latest loss? Well, I watched the Bobby Witt interviews. He went back to Texas, where he's from. The Royals are playing in Texas. They thought they'd interview Bobby Witt. His dad pitched for the Rangers. Everybody's asking him all these questions. There's Rangers reporters in there. There's Dallas Morning News. All the media are in there talking to Bobby Witt. And I guess I didn't know this. And I, you know, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't be doing it. I don't think this was voluntary. Why are all the members of the media covering the Royals wearing face masks? What isn't this over? You're in Texas, of all places. Why? The Royals are and their staff are walking around the locker room, clubhouse, with no masks on. Why are all the media wearing masks? Is this a Royals policy? Is it an MLB policy? I don't know. I just watched the interview this morning, so I'll dig into it and I'll find out. What's going on? Is this... Because look, here's what I know about covering sports. It used to be fun to go cover sports. It sucks now. They want to control you. The teams control you. They tell you where you can be, what you can do. It's not fun. You know I don't do well with this. You know by listening to this podcast, I do not do well at my age now with taking orders from other people. I don't do well with that. I don't, because I don't have to. I don't have to take orders from people. I have to follow the law, but I don't have to go in the Royals clubhouse. I can do my podcast without going in there. I went in there for 30-some years. I think I had the longest spring training streak. I definitely had the longest Chiefs camp streak of anyone going until the pandemic. And I've had my streak ended last year. Well, this year, if I don't go, last year of basically going into the Royals locker room. I'd done it every year since 1985. And so it's not that important to me. The streak certainly isn't something I'm going to go one time to keep a streak alive. I don't really care. I've lost my interest in going and doing that. And one of the reasons why was over the last 7 to 10 years of my former career, going and covering sports became no fun. Going to the site and covering them became no fun. A lot of rules in place. They give access to their partners first. You get interviews. If you're NFL.com or Chiefs.com or some partner of the network, a partner of the Chiefs, you get the interviews. Or same with the Royals. They get the interviews. They get this. They get that. So it became less and less fun. The pandemic comes along, and now they're masking and taking the jab and all those things. Come on, you know me. I was not going to conform to this. I was not going to do that. I don't have to at this point in my life. If I were 28 and had 3 young kids and had to keep my job, I probably would have done all that. But I'm not, and I didn't. I couldn't believe it. I got to look into this. It must be an MLB rule. When are they going to drop it? Why do the reporters have to have masks on? That's the only people in the clubhouse with masks on. Nobody with the Royals has them on. Oh, but we're going to tell these reporters what they can and can't do. That's what it looked like to me. That's what it looked like. I'll do a little digging into it and I'll find out. But I'm very curious why that is all happening. It's just absurd at this point. Even Bill Gates has now said, well, we've now learned that coronavirus is like the flu. And it hurts old people more than, you know, younger, healthier people. But we've, you know, apparently it took this brilliant guy 2 years to figure that out. This is impossible that it took these people this long to find out that everything they thought about coronavirus was wrong. All of the things we did were wrong. Our conservative instincts were right, which means conservatives live life, understand how the world works. They take a look around. I was scared for 2 or 3 weeks. When everything was shutting down, I was scared for 2 or 3 weeks. But it was not very long into COVID that we learned who was getting sick from it. Sick people were getting sick from it. People with underlying conditions. Older people. Nursing homes. People close to death anyway. Not that that makes it good or excusable or whatever. It just meant that most of us would not be affected by this. We knew that. Knew very early on. Now Bill Gates is on board, but apparently in Major League Baseball, they're still wearing masks. Crazy. Los Angeles Angels had something happen last night that really puts an exclamation point on why the Royals are failing at what they're doing. The Royals can't draft and develop pitching. This has been the big bugaboo. More and more people are calling for Dayton Moore and the front office to be blown up by John Sherman, the new owner, and bring people in. Most people would like to see somebody who understands pitching from the Cleveland Indians organization come in and take over the Royals baseball operations. Well, it wasn't a good night for the Royals baseball ops last night because rookie left-hander for the Angels, who draft behind the Royals, rookie left-hander making his 11th major league start, Reed Detmers, throws a no-hitter against Tampa. Tampa's a good team. It's not some rummy. Now they win generally by pitching, not a great offensive club, but I don't care. What made this no-hitter hard was it was a 12-0 final. It wasn't like he was out there protecting a one-run lead or two-run lead or something like that and had to pitch his brains out. We see guys with big leads like that just kind of lose it after a while, lose focus. Reed Detmers throws a no-hitter, and the video of it is spectacular. It's a ground ball to short. He pumps his fist when he gets it, but watching the Angels players pour over the fence of the dugout, run onto the field, throw Gatorade on the guy. They had a big crowd at the game on Tuesday night. There were a lot of fans there. It was just a huge celebration. It's really cool. No-hitters are cool. Cool moments in baseball are really cool, and Reed Detmers did it. But it also magnifies what's wrong with the Royals. The Angels have a rookie left-hander in his 11th start throwing a no-hitter. Pretty strong stuff. Congratulations to Reed Detmers. And congratulations to Cross Kitchens, KC. They've had a couple of listeners already call them and set up an appointment to have a consultation about a kitchen remodel. I wouldn't consider anyone else. These are great conservatives. Tim's an awesome family man. They got a young baby. He is a craftsman to his core. His workers are people that he has known for years and have worked for him for years. They are true craftsmen. They are about the job, the efficiency of the job, the beauty of the job, and the long-lasting effect that your new kitchen has on your home. From property value to just your quality of life, nothing changes your home better and more than remodeling your kitchen. Whether it's simple countertops and redo the cabinets, or if you want to throw out walls, tear down an island, and redo the whole thing. CrossKitchensKC.com. Tim Crofts is a craftsman. You can call him personally at the office, 816-898-7047. Here's the best part. They'll sit with you and dream a little bit. Then they'll design it up and show you a 3D rendering of what they can do. Then once it's your turn to go, most jobs are 2 weeks or less. They are not tearing your house up for 4 months. This is a vitally important decision when you make this to remodel in your home, that you are not doing this for 4 months. It will lead to you and her fighting. It will lead to a quality of life that you don't really like with construction and dirt and dust and stuff everywhere. Not with Cross Kitchens. Most jobs are 2 weeks or less. This is really important to Tim. He knows family life. He respects your family's life. And he wants to get this done in a timely fashion and do it absolutely right. Log on to crosskitchenskc.com. Family owned and operated in Belton, Missouri. They work anywhere within a couple of hours of Kansas City. Don't be afraid if you live a little ways away to say, well, maybe Tim can't come do this. Give him a call and find out. You're going to love it. Online at crosskitchenskc.com, 816-898-7047. Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC offering 0% right now. Truck month for GMC Sierra. It's truck month with GMC. It's also extended to Acadia. That's pretty cool. That's nice. And Terrains. Very good. 0% financing, and you get the free lifetime warranty at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. Don't forget, they'll service your car by picking it up, servicing it, and bringing it back to you. It's what they do in Excelsior Springs at robertsrobinson.com, where you can shop, click, and drive. Build your own GMC right now. Get the financing, get the discounts, get the lifetime warranty for free. robertsrobinson.com, or visit their showroom in Excelsior Springs at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. And my guy Scott from B-Stock sent me a nice email this week. They are loaded with Sony TVs. Sony. 85, 75, 65, 50, 43-inch, top-of-the-line OLED 4K models. Beautiful, super nice TVs from Sony. They have the lower models as well. Giant shipment of Sony televisions. These are widely thought of as the best television made. Sony is exceptional. At bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. All right, we'll finish up with one sports note here and then a fun worldly note before we get into the news that's going on. Brazilian soccer player Marcelo. I don't know who Marcelo is. It's short. Marcelo's one of his three or four names, but he just goes by Marcelo. Marcelo has been dropped by his team in Brazil, Olympique Lyonnais. I'm butchering that, but I'm saying it. That's the name of his team. The club has cut him. They suspended him last year for inappropriate behavior. And now they've cut him from the team completely for inappropriate behavior. You always hear about that and breaking team rules. This dates back to last year when he was suspended for inappropriate behavior. The team has now said that he's a distraction for the club because he's loud in the locker room. He interrupts meetings with laughter and does things he's a distraction. But the main reason, you're not going to believe this, Marcelo has been booted off his team is for constant, loud, stinky farting. Everywhere, locker room, team bus, hotel, doesn't matter. He thinks it's funny. And he rips them, and they're loud, and he laughs. And they've had enough. And he's off the team. I've never heard this. It does remind me of a great story. When Missouri was playing in the NCAA tournament, It was either Richmond, Virginia, or Greensboro, South Carolina. In those days, you could purchase a ticket on the team charter in the media. I was flying with Don Proctor, and we sit in the back of the plane. In the back two rows of players next to us, these were great Missouri teams. Melvin Booker and Doug Smith. They serve a big steak dinner on our way. It's fantastic. We've eaten. Norm Stewart gets up, and he's going to walk the aisles and say hi to his players. And we had been hearing and smelling things on the airplane that we weren't accustomed to hearing and smelling, coming from the direction of Doug Smith. Just saying. Norm comes walking down the aisle, and he's about 10 feet away from us, and he's like, whoa! And he fans in front of us and says, what in the blank is going on back here? Is this the media section? He's making jokes because there's, you know, only about six or seven of us in the media back there in the back of the plane. Oh, my God. Doug Smith and Melvin Booker thought that was the funniest thing that you have ever heard in your life. That Norm came back. He knew darn good and well who it was. Teams have farters. Teams have that guy. Every team that knows everyone on the team knows that guy. And he's going to rip him anywhere. And he'll do whatever or walk across the room. I've seen Chiefs players walk out of showers before. You know, completely naked, is walking across the locker room toward their stall. They're young juveniles, to be honest. These were college kids in the case of Missouri basketball, but some of these football and baseball players are really young too. I don't know how old Marcelo is. I know that I've been around all kinds of teams with a flatulent player who thinks it's really funny to do that anytime, anywhere, any place, but I've never heard anybody get kicked off. So Marcelo must be incredibly constant, incredibly loud, and incredibly stinky. Marcelo, Brazilian soccer player, booted off his team for farting. And this for the world of Hollywood, Steve Harvey, who I'm a fan of. Steve Harvey was giving a speech at Georgia State University and started talking about Will Smith slapping Chris Rock at the Oscars. And he says, well, I'm a Christian, but on a scale of 1 to 10, the kind of Christian I am, I've got some work to do. I'm like a 2. You know, I'm not devout enough. I'd like to be better, but I am a Christian. And he's giving this speech. And then he starts talking about it. He goes, but I'm not the best example of a Christian because if that had been me instead of Chris Rock, Harvey says, quote, if he slapped me and sat back in his seat, Jada, Will Smith's wife, would have had to move out of the way. Steve Harvey's saying, I'd have kicked his butt. I would have followed him right to his seat and said, that's it, you're out of here. I'd have gone and beat the crap out of him and sent him right out of the room. That is Steve Harvey. Love that guy. Love that guy. Jessica loves that guy. He's got a court show on now we've seen a time or two. It's actually kind of funny. He's just a funny guy. He's an interesting, engaging, funny guy. I would love to have dinner with Steve Harvey. I would love. There's not very many celebrities I'd say that about. I would love to have dinner with Steve Harvey. I just think I think for all the money he makes and has made, I think he's pretty well-grounded and remembers where he's from and what life was about and understands us. You know, he doesn't live in a bubble. Family Feud is produced in Atlanta. I think that helps. So he lives in Atlanta most of the time. So I think that helps, certainly. He's another guy that will not be feeling inflation. The numbers are out. 8.3% is our number. That is more than the 8.1 predicted. That's year over year, but it is down from the 8.5 of last month. They put this number out every month, but it reflects year over year. So inflation is going backwards a little bit. You won't hear a lot of conservative media outlets talking about that. You know what? I'll take it. I'll take it. I am not sitting here rooting for Joe Biden to fail every day. They've already been elected. They're not going to keep control of everything past November. He's a sterilized president right now, impotent. He can't do anything. He can't get anything passed. So I'm not really worried about him. I don't think he's going to move off his policies and help us. The only thing we can do is cross our fingers that things will get a little bit better. And I mean that. I'm selfish. I mean that for me, you, anyone. I mean it for everyone. This inflation's out of control. We can't have this. The Wall Street Journal has nicknamed Joe Biden, and they've beaten everybody that's attempted to it. It's Sleepy Joe. You know, all these other things they come up with Joe Biden are nice. They're fun. The I did that stickers are cool. I think the Wall Street Journal, I mean, the second you hear this, you're like, that's exactly right. The Wall Street Journal now refers to Joe Biden, who is underwater in 46 of 50 states in the polling with voters, and is 11 points, and most of those are double digits, by the way. In his home state of Delaware, he's down 11 points. Everything he does turns to dust. He came in with the endorsement of Obama, said never underestimate the ability of Joe Biden to F everything up. We've also heard people say every single foreign policy decision he's ever made in his career was the wrong one. He's on the wrong side of history on every single one of them. Well, he's doing that. And the Wall Street Journal now calls him President Costanza. And if you ever watched Seinfeld, you know exactly what this means. There was an episode, and it doesn't matter because the episode is what people are talking about today, as the Wall Street Journal has referred to him as President Costanza. But the general tone of the show is that George Costanza is weaseling way through his life, half-assing it, and getting pretty much everything wrong. He's not a bad person. You don't hate him, but you just scratch your head and go, wow, you know, kind of a loser. He's just got to be. How can anybody be that wrong that often and get it wrong? So there was one episode about Costanza's instincts, and he says, everything my whole life, and he's complaining to his friends. He goes, everything I've ever done, every decision I've made, all of my instincts, they're just wrong. It's like, I can't be this good at being wrong. And finally, Jerry Seinfeld says, well, you know, the opposite of that is go against your instincts. That's what the Wall Street Journal has written about Joe Biden. It's so bad on so many fronts. How about when you're presented with, should I do this or not do this? You go the opposite of what you think you should do. It's hilarious at its core, if you think about it. I've always used the comparison with team presidents in the NFL. Long time ago, Carl Peterson had every title. He was president, CEO, and general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. And I used to say, it is so easy to run the Chiefs that they don't have to sell one ticket to make a profit. There's so much money coming in from media in the NFL, and there's a salary cap in place that you could take a third grader and make them the president of the Chiefs, and they would make a profit. Anybody can make a profit running the Chiefs. Anybody can do that job. It's not hard. Now, maximizing the profit, different. Maybe you make your owner $10 million more dollars in a year or $20 million more in a year by being a good team president. That's all possible. But you're going to make a profit. You have the easiest job in America. You can't lose if you're the president of an NFL team. And I would always use this analogy. I would say, ask Carl Peterson a question about being president, CEO, or general manager. Here's two bananas. One banana is we draft this player. The other banana is we don't draft this player. Doesn't matter. Pick a banana. Can't go wrong. You're still going to make a profit. One banana is should we raise ticket prices? The other banana is no, don't raise ticket prices. Put a chimpanzee in the seat instead of Carl Peterson and let the chimpanzee pick the banana. And you go with that. You present a monkey with two choices, two bananas, each one representing do this or don't do this, and you would still make a profit. That's the way I always looked at it. We've now learned that's our presidency. America's not dead. We're not going under. It's a sad sack operation right now. It's terrible. It will correct itself. We will have better days. The adults in the room will come in, the Republicans, and take over and clean up the mess, which is what they always do. It's what will happen. But I love it. The Wall Street Journal has referred to him as President Costanza. Every instinct and decision he makes is just the wrong one. And the Wall Street Journal is suggesting, just Joe, what you think you should do, just do the opposite. So essentially what they're saying is, all those Trump things you canceled, bring them all back. Like everything, if I were Biden, I would just quietly, just so quietly, I wouldn't even tell people. Everything that Trump implemented, I just put it back in. I say, well, I decided that if they ask you, well, we decided this on our own. We've looked at this policy and we've decided to go this direction. We don't know anything about Trump. Just put the Trump stuff back in and you'll just be winning. Really isn't a whole lot more complicated than that. Doubtful he will go that direction, President Costanza. If your direction is headed toward Manhattan, there's a great place to stay. The Bluemont Hotel is Manhattan's finest hotel. It is locally owned and operated by Kansans. There's live music every week. It's a unique hotel experience. It's not some sterile, impersonal franchise place. It's a perfect business day, or bring the family with you for a little staycation destination. Play some golf at Colbert Hills, head out on the lake, enjoy the beautiful Flint Hills. Extra large rooms are standard. They have great executive suites for entertaining or if you want to splurge. They're right there on the corner of campus in Aggieville. It's the Bluemont Hotel. Yeah, it's really great value. Wonderful boutique experience, awesome breakfast they provide, free parking, shuttles. It's all at the Bluemont Hotel. And Goolsbee's is right there with you. Goolsbee's is the restaurant and indoor entertainment center. A lot of fun. It's not just for kids. This is an adult. It's not an adult entertainment center. There is entertainment there that adults will enjoy. They have duck pin bowling. They got all kinds of fun things going on there. Inside Goolsbee's Restaurant and Indoor Entertainment Center. Golf simulators, skydiving, all kinds of home run derby, hunt ducks, pigs, aliens, all kinds of field goal contests. They've got craft beer on the wall with 30 taps. You pour your own. It's the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan and Goolsbee's Restaurant and Indoor Entertainment Center. Back 9 Development. They've got condos in Manhattan, but they really build homes anywhere in the Midwest. Back 9 Development is a certified passive home builder specializing in alternative materials that focus on energy-efficient homes with high-quality materials. A wonderful, transparent process. If you'd like to build, if you'd like to consider the possibility of building a custom home, call TJ Bill Kanskis and meet with him. Just sit down, no obligation, nothing. Just meet with him and see if he might be your guy. Online at back9development.com. And, of course, our friends at Amazing Garage Floors, today is the day I'm hosing mine out. We got a long stretch of dry weather coming. I still got some mud that got tracked into the garage. Hosing out the garage when you have an Amazing Garage Floor takes less than 10 minutes. It's the easiest thing you'll do, and it looks brand new the second you do it. AmazingGarageFloors.net. Get on the schedule now or get your concrete sealed with Seal XP for your driveway and sidewalks. Amazing Garage Floors, 913-901-7139. From Twitter, Dan Lyman on Twitter on Tuesday, at the Senate hearings, Janet Yellen was testifying, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. And she said that ending Roe versus Wade would be bad for the economy. Because apparently more Americans being born is bad for the economy. This is the Treasury Secretary. Secretary Yellen also has a policy that importing non-Americans is good for the economy. Dan Lyman on Twitter tweeted, Yellen, abortion killing Americans fuels the economy. Yellen, importing non-Americans into the country fuels the economy. This is impossible. Those both cannot be true. They cannot be true. Rick Scott is a senator from South Carolina who's a black man, and he was sitting there listening to this racist woman, which is what she is. It was cringeworthy listening to her talk. We're like, what is she talking about? She's talking about abortion and race. And this is an old white woman. And you're like, oh my God, this is bad. It was Biden-esque. And she went on to say that we need to keep abortion. And the reason it's good for the economy is because of all the poor black women that are uneducated. They get pregnant in their teens. You know, let's just go ahead and be racist and stereotype this thing. What we're really talking about here is 15-year-old black girls. We need to abort those babies so they have a chance to go on in life. And Senator Rick Scott interrupted her and said, ma'am, as the son of a single, poor, young black mom, I'd like to tell you that I'm very happy to be a United States senator. And Janet Yellen looked like the smallest person on earth. It was a remarkable moment. I love Tim Scott. His story's phenomenal. She's sitting there in front of this senator bashing young black women as incapable of having a baby when they're young, either raising it on their own, giving it up for adoption, whatever, and having a good outcome for that baby. She's saying it's not possible to a man that was born in that circumstance instead of aborted and is now a United States senator. And we'll be a presidential candidate someday. This was really embarrassing for them. It happens all the time. Their policies are inconsistent. You can't defend them. They cannot win on the merits of the argument or the issue. They can't. And Rick Scott did that to her yesterday. Dan Lyman on Twitter pointed it out. Really good stuff. I'm telling you, if some of you saw it, if you haven't seen it, it was so cringeworthy. You're like, ooh, no, no, no. And I don't like to be ageist. I think there's lots of older people that can be really great at their job, really know what's going on. Janet Yellen has not evolved with the times. She seemed like a bigoted, racist old lady. And she's a liberal. It was really hard to watch. It's really hard for people to watch at Ascension Church in Overland Park, as they have had signs in their yard, political signs that say "Vote Life" on August 2nd. Harmless signs. You know what yard signs are. They were put there at the church. They've been vandalized by abortion freaks that put the F word all over them, because they know if they put that on there, they're coming out of the yard. It's a shame. That's a crime, by the way. I'd like to find the abortion freaks that vandalized the signs at Ascension Church in Overland Park. It's vile. It's disgusting. You people are crazy. There's no helping you. A recent poll, I'll tell you who these people are. And these are the people that on the left that get all the attention and drive the party. A recent poll of Americans they were asked, what's your most important issue this election season? Abortion finished like 13th with 2%. This is not a big issue. Abortion is apparently good TV or good for media or good for something. You're not changing anybody's mind. It isn't happening. And these crazoids are out there causing trouble, getting all the attention. And now they've vandalized signs at a church in Overland Park. They're attacking churches. It's just a shame. The attack on Christianity is a shame. But just know, this is a small number of people. We think the abortion issue is 50-50. It's not. It's more nuanced than that. If you offer people, you could offer 10 different selections in a poll to answer. You only get to pick one. If you offered 10 different selections, you wouldn't believe what the percentages would be. If one question was abortion anytime up to the point of birth, and the question was no abortion ever after conception for any reason ever, if those were two of the 10 choices, those would get like 15% or less. The other eight choices somewhere in the middle would be almost all of America. So that's why this is not an important issue to a lot of people. People know it's out there. Most people are never affected by this issue. Their families are not affected. And it's not something people sit around and talk about much. So it's a 2% issue, and these people are getting all the attention. Now they've gone to Nancy Pelosi's house. The abortion freaks on the left are now faulting Democrats, which is probably right. But these are haters. These are people that hate everyone. So now they hate Nancy Pelosi because she's been there forever and had a supermajority under Obama, and they didn't pass an abortion law. They hate Hillary Clinton now because she invented the term many years ago. We want abortion to be legal but rare. They don't want it to be rare. The freaks on the far left want abortion on demand. They want it like Taco Bell, baby. Let's drive through and eat it every day. Let's do this. The Biden administration publicly now is encouraging lawbreaking outside Supreme Court justices' homes. Jen Psaki said it to the world yesterday. We encourage and support protesters outside Supreme Court justices' homes. This is inexplicable that could be the White House policy. It is against the law to do this. Legal section 1507 says you cannot do this outside justices' homes. The White House is encouraging it, and if we keep this up, it's going to lead to violence. Let me tell you something you haven't heard. Maybe I'll do more on this on another podcast. This is the stuff that's a little cringeworthy, but you're going to hear me say it. There are millions and millions and millions of people on the left in this country that would love to see one of these protesters assassinate a conservative judge. I said it. They won't say that's what they want to happen. I'm telling you right now, if that happened, The reaction on the left, you wouldn't believe it. They'd be partying. You know how many people would be calling that person a hero. There would be a defense fund set up for that person with millions and millions of dollars in it. You wouldn't believe what happened, because if one is killed, Biden gets to put a Democrat in. I'm not kidding. There are millions. And that was my takeaway from Psaki. I don't want to impugn anybody, but I definitely got the feeling from her when she just sat there calmly and coolly and said, yeah, we support that. We want them to keep picketing and rioting or whatever, or demonstrating outside justice homes. We know it's against the law. We know it's illegal. We know the politicians are trying to pass some legislation to protect the judges. We know that's happening. They're going to be on the record and have to do it. But here's Jen Psaki saying, we're for it. And all I could think of was, I think that woman would love it if one of these protesters went wacko and killed one of the justices. They could never say it. They denounce it. I honestly believe that there are millions of people on the far left that would like to see that happen. What an absolute, utter shame. 360 Document Solutions in Western Missouri, the entire state of Kansas, is your business-to-business consultant. Anything you need in your office, any officeware, copiers, printers, IT solutions, mailing systems, phone systems, 360 Document Solutions is a better company to work with. They're better people, they try harder, and they cost less. What more does your company want? Please make this phone call to Mark over at 360 and see what he can do for you. There's no obligation. Doesn't cost you anything to have him come out. 913-745-5344. They've got a team of associates all over the Midwest, covering Western Missouri and the entire state of Kansas, Wichita, Dodge City, Salina, Manhattan, Great Bend. Doesn't matter. Call them. They can help your business. 360documentsolutions.com. Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com, and three locations now in Kansas City. The Bullet Hole in Overland Park, Mission, whatever you want to call it right there. Shields in Overland Park, and Teague Tractor in Belton, or online at finchknifeco.com. These are wonderful pocket knives, the best you can get. Keep life from getting dull with Finch Knives, online at finchknifeco.com. And play more golf this year with Great Life KC. If you'd like to get a membership and play six courses around Kansas City for one low price monthly, Great Life will set you up with a classic membership. Call 913-802-4552 or online at greatlifekc.com. Golf and fitness memberships. Play more golf. Spend less money. greatlifekc.com. And we're hearing from authorities in the Bahamas now that they're investigating the deaths of those Americans, and they're checking out the food they ate, and I think this is an utter waste of time. They know that these... Look, there's a woman in the hospital. We're talking about two couples in villas next to each other at the Sandals Resort in Exuma. And there's a woman alive in the hospital in stable condition in Miami. She should be telling them everything they need to know about what happened. We now know that all three of the people that died ate different things at different places, but they're checking on food. Like, you're still feeding people several days later and now you're checking on food? I don't understand these Bahamians at all. Look, this had to be something they breathed in. Carbon monoxide, some sort of leaky gases. There had been people complaining at the resorts recently about odors that were strong from insecticides. Possible they have insecticides in the Bahamas that are legal that aren't legal here that could kill you. My house gets sprayed. My office got sprayed for years. I never smelled it. The stuff they have now, you don't smell. But they were complaining about that apparently in the Bahamas. I still don't think that's what it is. At the very bottom of the story, it does say Bahamian officials are looking into the air conditioners, the heaters, and the propane supply. Now you're onto something. Carbon monoxide or a noxious gas or something like that. Sounds like that was a really sad thing. Really, really sad thing for people in the retirement years of their life. They in their 60s, they're going to travel and enjoy, and they've got time that they didn't used to have. And what a tragic, terrible, terrible way. Awful to hear something like that. Truly. Okay, we appreciate you guys spreading the word. We're just getting more and more people hitting the like and follow button. We're closing in on 19,000, which is just spectacular. If you'd like to become a patron, we did patron podcasts on Monday and Tuesday. You can unlock those by signing up at kkhasissues.com. It's only $5 a month, and you get the newsletter every weekend as well. Encourage you to get those. We do some different types of things on the patron podcast that we don't do here, so you may enjoy those. It's only $5 a month to get more. If you'd like to hear more, we do 2, 3, sometimes 4 podcasts in a week for the patrons only, and then the newsletter on the weekend, which people seem to love. I'm just shocked at how much people love the newsletter. It is shocking to me that it is as popular as it is. But we're going to keep doing it. We have patron-only events. We get together. We have cold beers. We talk about things. It's fun to be in a room with other conservatives. It's a neat group of people. And if you own a business, becoming a patron is a pretty big deal because the patrons do business with one another. They meet each other at these events. They know each other through the newsletters and whatnot. It's a really cool networking group and opportunity. So if you'd like to join that, maybe help your business. It's a cheap way to do that. $5 a month. KKHasissues.com.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.